Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
We are thankful that you are here. My name is Daniel Casnave, pastor of the Bridge Church, and if you're joining us for the first time, I'll move this over just a little bit. We are in a series called More Than Enough, and we're talking about peace and contentment, And I just got to say, Dave's going to come back up at the end and have some announcements for us, but we are launching a Christmas serve in the back of the room by the Connect Center. You'll see our Christmas tree back there, and we're partnering with Kappa, but I just wanted to say real quick, as a church, when we planted, one of our core values is generosity. We wanted to be known as a church that was generous, that gave things away, that was in the community, engaging with the community, and so my heart just gets excited about the opportunity to bless those kids, and so I'd encourage everybody to go in there. We'll give you more details here later in the service, but I just wanted you to know that that was coming up, and that we just, as a church, that's what we want to stand behind and walk into, and what that can look like. So as we get ready to move forward, I just want to pray for us, ask God to speak during this time, and how's everybody doing this morning? Staying warm? Yeah? All right. Very good. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word, your truth, your power, your grace. God, I pray that you will speak to us this morning. I pray that if we walked in with some heavy hearts, God, maybe some things that we need to lay down at your feet, I pray that we leave this place surrendered to you, God. I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would uplift us. I pray that you would challenge us, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Up here today, so about 3 years ago, I switched to preaching from an iPad, and it's been amazing. You can switch through really fast, all these things. But this past week, for about 3 days, we had a little mini vacation, and I went off the grid a little bit, so to speak. And so my message notes are on a legal pad. Look at this right here, all right? So if I look a little jumbled up here, you know, I'm just trying to flip through my sheets here. But it was pretty nice to kind of unplug and a little bit and go back to that. And speaking of, we are blessed to have 4 kids. Our oldest is 10, 8, 7, and our little girl is 4. And so driving to Panama City Beach, the weather was awesome there, but it's about a 6-hour ride, right? When we went, it was at during the night. So, you know, most of the time everybody slept. But on the way back, it was on Saturday. And about the 3-hour mark, there's like a wall that you hit, right? Like where everybody is just done. It's like, okay. Now, it's great marriage counseling, you know, just coming together, like trying to work through these last 3 hours and stopping every 4 or 5 minutes for the restroom, all those great things. Well, I was thinking about that because I began to think about the message today, and the title is Walk in Peace. And sometimes it can be incredibly difficult in life to walk in peace. In fact, because I believe there are moments and times in life where stress can begin to build up. And something about stress just weighs on our heart. It weighs on our minds, and it causes us to question. It causes us to wrestle. In fact, when we stress, it causes a lot of physical things as well. Mental fog causes us to be tired. If long-term stress, it can cause other physical ailments inside of us. And stress just starts to get heavy. And here's the thing about stress. Here's the thing about worry. Here's the thing about anxiety. It doesn't discriminate on who can walk into stress, right? You could be 10 years old, right? Or you can be 99. And stress can affect us all. Stress, we can walk in that and wrestle with things. And life can just feel heavy. And it can almost like put a veil over our eyes of going, well, how do I work through this? How do I walk in this? And in fact, maybe if you're a Christ follower, maybe you're not, and you're just checking this church thing out and checking this Bible thing out, and you hear that there's this man named Jesus provides this peace. And last week we talked about that he provides this peace that the world cannot provide. And so Jesus draws a line in the sand and says, when you follow me, you'll experience peace. And so I believe that should be one of the deciding key things in a Christian's life, is to walk in peace. It's one of the things that when the world looks at Christianity, looks at Christ followers, they should go, oh, wait, they're living a little different, right? Like, it's like they have a different mindset. And so as we walk in that, we're looking through the book of Philippians. And we talked about Philippians chapter 1 a little bit. And today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. And in fact, this man named Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, began to pen this, and he's in prison for preaching the gospel. And during this time, he starts to write this book, and the theme comes out to be joy and peace. How incredible to think that this man sitting in prison, arrested for preaching the gospel, comes out and writes this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes this book on peace, writes this book on joy, writes this book that draws us in towards contentment. And so we see this here in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1 and going to go down through verse 5 and then skip over to verses 12 through 14. Everybody still okay? Very good. So Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, you can look at it on the screens there as well. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it reads like this. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interest, but to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I love those verses there. As it begins to read, the Apostle Paul starts out and he's saying, if there's any encouragement, if there's anything that we can come together on, if they have one main focus, here are a few things. And he gives us something key here. He says, but in humility, I love that he's saying in humility that should be the target. That should be the way we walk. That should be a characteristic of us. He says, but in humility. Now, as I begin to think about that word humility, why would, if Paul is writing about peace and joy and contentment, why is he talking about humility? And how does humility play into this? And how does it play into my life? And if you're taking notes, the first thing I want us to get here is when we walk in humility, it leads us to peace. When we walk in humility, we have that mindset of walking in humility, we experience peace. It leads us to God's plan. It leads us to the mindset that God has called us to. And if you remember from last week, when we talk about peace, we're talking about this. The Bible describes it as to be complete. I mean, think about the weight that comes off of our shoulders, to be complete, to feel that peace of going, I know who I am in Christ. And so if we're looking at this, I really want to spend most of our time today talking about three ways to walk in peace from the Philippians chapter 2. Three ways to walk in peace, to walk in humility. And the first one is, you guys ready? I like to ask a lot of questions. Is that okay? Very good. Okay. The first one here is know who you are. And if I were to add a little tagline on that, know who you are in Christ. And I believe this is foundational. This is huge because if we point back to our insecurities, they are always tied to a wrestling of our identity. If I may feel like I'm too young or I'm too old or God made me this way. God, why did you make me this way? Why do I look this way? All these things that we may wrestle with. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. Whatever it may be, we're wrestling with that insecurity, but we have to remember who we are. We have to rest in the fact of knowing who I am in Christ, that know that once I come to know Christ, I am a new creation, that we are image bearers of the Creator of the universe. That's our identity, is that no longer is my past that defines me, the mistakes that define me, is no longer all of those things, but what defines me is who Christ is and who Christ says that I am. And in fact, if we read Ephesians chapter 2, he gives us a description. He says, you are God's masterpiece. And it's not that we would go and lift ourselves up. In fact, you're going to see here my next two points is we're constantly in this battle of taking ourselves off this pedestal and putting other people up in those pedestals. And as we wrestle that, but we can't truly do that until we are secure in who we are in Christ. We can't really do that because it's hard for me to love you out of my insecurities, right? It's hard for me to walk in trust if I'm wrestling internally myself. It's hard for me, all of a sudden I'll start projecting things or I'll start acting out of fear. When we act out of fear, then we start manipulating, right? Instead of just pushing forward. And God gives us this revelation of going, I want you to know who you are. I want you to realize you are complete in Christ. And then live out of knowing that fact. And in fact, last week we talked about that my eternity is secure, and that's my covering. That's the foundation of my peace is the gospel. That I know on my very worst day that Jesus Christ holds me in his hand, and there's nothing in this world that can pull me out of his hand, that he is strong enough to hold me in that. But knowing who we are. And realizing that, and it's a daily battle of going, this is who I am in Christ. That in Christ, he makes me enough, right? In Christ, I can live my life in that security, in that hope, in that peace. And if we think about humility, humility is really not, sometimes we think it may be, I need to think less of myself. But we don't need to think less of ourselves. We just need to think of ourselves. Less. I love that old adage. And when we walk in humility, we have to know who we are. You can't love your neighbor as you love yourself if you don't love yourself, right? We can't walk in that, but Christ guides us in that. But the very foundation of who we are is settled. The cement is settled, and we build the foundation off of that, off of our identity and who we are. And I'm here to say, it doesn't matter our age, right? We could be in middle school or elementary school and still wrestle with our identity, trying to figure that out, right? And then we could be in a new season of life as a parent, and now new insecurities come about, right? And all these things, and we can be an empty nester and trying to figure out retirement. All of a sudden, new insecurities come, right? But yet we revisit that and say, you know what? This is who I am in Christ, and Christ is for me and with me no matter which season I am in. My identity sits in that principle. My identity sits in who I am in Christ. And the second one here we get from verse 5. And this is what he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he goes and begins to talk about who Christ is. I'm not going to read it all today, but if you go back, I would encourage you to read verses 6 through 11. Most people believe it was like a psalm or something that they memorized, the early church memorized, a doxology, so to speak, of lifting up of who Christ is, a doctrine of Christ. And so we see this. And so the second thing I want us to get, the first one is know who you are. The second one is think on God more than yourself. Think on God more than yourself. And he says, I want you to have the same mindset of Christ. And then he goes in and gives this beautiful description of who Christ is, right? And the way he lived his life. And you and I, we have an opportunity. And one of the best ways for us to walk in humility is to think and dwell on who God is. Think and dwell and to know him more, to seek after him, to search after him. I love this truth right here. And it says, when I see God clearly, I will see myself clearly. When I see God more clearly, he helps me to see myself more clearly. And it takes the focus off of myself. It takes the focus off of what is in front of me, maybe what I'm dealing with. And for a moment, my mind can rest because I'm thinking about my God. I'm thinking about how big my God is. I'm thinking about his love that is never ending as we read Romans chapter 8. And when we think about how God works all things out, what does that cover, right? All things, right? All things out according to those who love him. And we see this beautiful picture of walking with Christ. And when we lift him up, when we lift Christ up in our minds, lift Christ up in our hearts, and I would encourage you, whatever that may look like, of course, one of the strongest ways we can do that is holding fast to the Word, is diving into the Word every single day, is showing up to church or listening in online because you're receiving that encouraging Word, is jumping into small group. Maybe it's pulling out characteristics of who God is and writing those things out in our hearts and in our minds. Maybe we post it in work, right? That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We put that right there on our dashboard in our car, right? We're just driving along. We need to be reminded, right? Because when that person cuts us off, right? Like, okay, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even when somebody cuts me off, even when my kid's yelling in the back, even when we're late to school, even all these things, we can rest in the fact of who God is. Because that doesn't mean I'm thinking of myself that I'm less of myself. I'm not saying that I'm not worth it. I'm not all these different things, right? No, it's in Christ he builds us up. And then now I just think of myself less because I know who I am. I'm resting on that. My foundation is there. Now I'm dwelling on who God is. Now I'm dwelling on his love. And we love because Christ first loved us, right? We see this beautiful, incredible picture. And when we share and talk about who God is, I love this quote by Mark Batterson. It says, "Don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is." I love that. That just stirs something in us, and it's a perspective shift, right? And I don't want that to be misunderstood of we shouldn't bring our problems to God, because our problems are very real, right? And we do bring those problems to God, and we do share those with him, but we need to be reminded that our God is bigger than those problems. Our God, he is the source of our peace, and in that situation, he can still shower us with that peace, help us to walk in that peace. And now I can share with God my problems and my issues, knowing that he is big enough to help me and guide me through the next phase, guide me through the next season, help me in that direction. And this will help me to walk into that peace. Help me walk into his grace. Help me walk into his love. Now I'm flipping the page. You'll see that? Look at that. So professional. Anyway, as we see here, those two, three. And then the third one that we get here is in verse 3. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more than significant than yourselves." And if you read that out of context, and you were just to throw that into your local high school, or throw that into our neighborhoods, then you could see how that could almost be dangerous, right? Of where you begin to put the others' needs above ourselves, but it's coming out of the foundation of I know who I am in Christ, right? It's coming out of the foundation of I'm dwelling on who God is. He's still giving me that picture. He's still giving me the direction. And now I can step out into a broken world. And now I can begin to think about others more than myself. So I'm not thinking of myself less, right? I'm thinking of myself less, right? And then I'm walking in that. Now I can serve out of love. Now I can serve out of hope. Now I can serve others because I know who I am. And then now I'm thinking of others more than I'm thinking of myself. So when I walk in humility, those are three things that really help us. Know who we are, think on God more than ourselves, and think on others more than ourselves. Now that takes on a whole new meaning as we head out into the world, right? It takes on a whole new meaning. And who would have thought when we take the pressure off ourselves, we take the view off of ourselves, we actually experience peace. And I see that so much in our lives and in my life, because if I dwell too hard and I go internal too hard, I start to build up these things and I start playing this movie in my mind, right? I can set up all kinds of good scenarios, right? Like I can set up that argument and guess what? I win every single one of those arguments, right? Like I can play in how this is going to go in at work. Like all these things, I can play that movie, but what I realize is the stress begins to build in my life, because it's dependent on me. It's dependent on my gifting. It's dependent on my skills. It's dependent on me networking, me hustling, all these things. And it begins to build the pressure up, because we were never meant to carry that kind of worship. We were meant to lay that at the feet of Christ and go, okay, God, what is your plan? It's your will be done, not my will. And I walk in peace when I begin to lay that at Jesus' feet, when I begin to walk in his love, walk in his grace, and he begins to show us this. And I love this in verse 7. Because when he's describing Christ, and we look to Christ as our perfect example, this is what he says: "But Christ emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." I think about Jesus, and the Bible describes him in Revelation as he's sitting on the throne. Beings were created to fly around him and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," and they worship him 24/7 for eternity. And that same Christ emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. And that puts myself in perspective. I begin to think, like, who am I that I can't serve somebody, right? Like, who am I? Then this is the creator of the universe who emptied himself. The King James Version says that he was a man of no reputation. Woo, that speaks, right? In the age of social media, in the age of let me get to the next status, let me post this, let me do that. It takes that weight off. And the Bible actually teaches us that if we focus on our character, our reputation will take care of ourselves. If we focus on our integrity, focus on who we are and who Christ has made us to be, allow Him to take care of our reputation. Because the Bible says those who exalt themselves will be humbled, right? And those who humble themselves, Christ will exalt them. And we see this picture in Scripture of how God is working in that. And when you and I become hyper-focused on ourselves, we strip ourselves of our purpose. We begin to take that away from ourselves because God is saying, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. He gives us a purpose. He gives us a life calling to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And when we start to put ourselves up higher, we're actually taking our purpose away for the reason we were created. And God is saying, no, let's put it back into perspective. When you walk in humility, all of a sudden you walk in purpose and you experience your peace back and all of these things. He's saying, let me take care of the outside. You focus in on what I'm doing in you and doing through you. And now we can walk in what God has called us to. And now I know how to love those who are around me. I know how to take on the form of a servant because I know who I am in Christ and I know who God is. I've been dwelling and thinking on Him and I saw how Christ lived His life and I want to live that same life, right? And I'm walking in it because of the first two, how the foundational things begin to build off of that and show us what that may look like. And you and I, we can start with proximity. I love the rule of proximity. Start with who is around you immediately. It could be a spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a neighbor. It could be a child. It could be a coworker. Whatever it may be. It could be that person in Walmart in line. You know, whoever it may be, just take a look around and take some inventory. And one of the easiest things we could do for somebody is write their name down and start praying for them. Start asking God would open up their hearts and that they would receive peace, that they would see peace in you. And watch God work. And that's just the first step. And then we can move on and start serving them, right? We see something, a need pop up in their life, and we take on the form of a servant and go, hey, I think I can help out with that, or my church may can help out with this, or we make it, all of a sudden, we start loving those who are around us, and they're like, wait a second, Dave is different. Like, what does Dave have that I don't have? Like, why is this different? It's like, oh, I have this peace, and it comes from Jesus. And the world can't give it to you. And every time I feel stressed, I go back to one of these three things. I need to remember who I am in Christ. I need to go back to my identity, or I need to go back and dwell on who God is and spend my time in prayer talking about my mighty God and how much He loves me, right? And I need to refill that tank up. And then now I'm looking at my purpose. Now I'm going, okay, how do I walk in humility? And now I'm getting back to my peace. In fact, we're getting back to how God wired us, how God created us. And then the Apostle Paul continues on. So those three things there. And then he kind of gives us this very encouraging, but also challenging, but also incredibly simple application coming here in verse 12. We're going to read a few of these verses here together. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both will and to work for His good pleasure. I love that. Just for a quick second, we're working out our salvation. God, is there anything in me that you want to change? Anything in me you want to chisel away? Anything in me I need to confess to you? And I'm working that out because I fear God. I don't fear man, but I fear God. And going, God, I want you to work in me. I have this awe, this reverence of who you are. And I want it to be your will, as verse 13 says. Then verse 14, this is where it gets incredibly simple, incredibly practical, but a little bit difficult. All right, here we go. It says, do all things. How many things? All things without grumbling or disputing. Some translations say, do all things without complaining or arguing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Among you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Verse 14, I mean, come on, right? Like, everything, God, everything without complaining or arguing. Like, but I'm good at arguing, right? Like, I can make things. I got some good bullet points, right? Like, I'm the Facebook champion. Like, come on. Like, the arguing guy. And he's saying, do all things without complaining or arguing. I look at that, and I'm like, oh, how simple. But I look at my life. And if I'm honest, sometimes I look at my kids' life. Like, and if I look at the different aspects, I look at maybe a coworker, and the ones that complain and argue the entire time, it's like this drain that begins to happen. Do we want to be a drain or do we want to be a fountain, right? And every time somebody complains or argues with you, it's like something's draining because so much energy is going on, so much energy is happening to make this go around or make this relationship work, or all these different things. But Paul is saying, if you want to know an easy way to experience who I am in you and through you, it's do all things without grumbling or disputing. And I love this because Paul is writing from prison. Right? Like, but Paul, what if the letter would have went like this? This jail is dark. Man, the food is terrible. Every guard that comes in is so smelly. They don't take care of themselves. Like, they don't want to talk to me. They just want to argue the whole time, right? The book wouldn't have as much impact, right? Like, we would be like, oh, great, another complainer. Here we go. But Paul, in this moment, he does something. Instead of complaining, here's something I love for you to take notes. He replaces complaining with encouraging. Anytime we feel like, I'm going to complain here, I'm going to do this here, replace it with encouraging. Find something maybe to encourage somebody around you, maybe encourage, talk about the situation, find something to lift up, or I can replace it, right? Like, I feel this moment, this urge to complain, but I'm gonna find a way to encourage, because this is what Paul does. He could have taken this time and complained, just like I said, but no, he writes the letter, and he starts out, and what does he start doing in Philippians chapter 1? It says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace. And then he goes, verse 3, I thank my God in remembrance of you. He goes right into encouragement. In a moment where it would have been incredibly easy for him to complain, incredibly easy for him to sit and dwell on the situation and things that are around him, he moves. He takes it and he goes, I'm not going to complain. I'm going to replace it with encouraging. He said, I'm going to encourage those who are around me. And then he gives us this. He's saying, when we do this, this is the good part, right? He's like, when we walk in humility and it leads us to peace, and it helps us experience peace, because peace is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Because these three things are going to help us to walk with God, walk with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to produce the peace in us as we're pursuing and seeking after him. The Apostle Paul says this. Here we go. He says that you may be blameless and innocent. I love those two words, because somebody that is blameless and innocent, it's like they are walking free, right? They're like, I got nothing. I'm innocent. I'm blameless. Have you ever talked to somebody that was the opposite of that, guilty and lying, right? Like, they're backtracking. They don't know. You see their mind racing, and they're constantly looking over their back. Oh, they're going to find me out here. This is not going to work. And it's creating this tension, right? It's creating this weight, this guilt, this anxiety, this stress. But Paul is saying, you're not meant to live that way. I want you to live as blameless and innocent. And in fact, in a crooked and twisted generation, then if we do this, we will shine as bright lights in a dark world. He is saying, when we live this way, when we walk in peace, when we lift God up, lift others up, we will be like that flashlight in a completely dark room, right? Like, the darker it is, the brighter the light shines. If there's a little bit of light around and we throw a flashlight in there, you can see, it's like, okay, there's a flashlight, maybe there's a flashlight. But if you turn all the lights off and it's pitch black and you turn one flashlight on, like a mile away, you're like, there it is, there's a flashlight, right? That's how we are as Christians. Every time we may say the world's getting darker, what an opportunity, right? What an opportunity for us to go, okay, we will march into the darkest places, into the darkest corner, because my light will shine that much brighter, right? Like, I have a church planting heart and mind, and so if somebody was like, oh, that would be a horrible place, that'd be a hard place to plant a church, I'm like, huh, well, okay. Yeah, that'd be, yeah, okay, let's begin to think about that. Let's begin to pray about that, right? Like, because we as Christians should think about the darkest places, should think about the people in pain, should think about all those things that are going on around us, and we don't look at it and go, oh, that's terrible. That somebody should do something, right? No, we look into it and go, okay, God, how can you use me to be a light in a dark world? God, how can you use me? And God's like, I need you to armor up first. I need you to know who you are. I need you to know who I am. And then now start living as lights in the world. Start living in that. Keep revisiting that. Keep walking in that peace. Because as we let go of one of those, right, then the anxiety or stress, all those can begin to release inside of our hearts. And we need to go back to that peace and saying, God, I'm carrying this. I'm carrying that. I need to walk in your peace. I need to walk in your grace. Look at that. We're going to the last page. All right. So as we experience that and walk in that, my question for us today as we get ready to pray and we're going to sing this response song together is we revisit these four things. What is it for you? What is it? Maybe you need to go home and pray about it. What a great conversation between our families to go on. Okay, what do you think? Do we need to dwell on God more? Do we need to know who we are? Do we need to talk more about identity? Or what are you wrestling with? What do you feel insecure about? What's stressing you out in here in this moment, in this season of life? What's happening in those? And we begin to talk about that in our communities. And as a church, we begin to pray for each other, encourage each other. Is it, man, I just feel like my mind naturally goes to complaining. How can I walk into encouraging? What can you pray for me? Strength? Can you pray for me? Guidance? And maybe it's like, hey, how can I create a list of encouragements where I just immediately, when I think about complaining, boom, I already have an encouragement ready. I have something I can invest in them. And so as we begin to think about that, because what's on the line is your peace. What's on the line is what Paul says, shining like bright lights in the world. That's what's on the line. And how beautiful, how amazing that the creator of the universe says, I want you to be a part of it. In fact, not only want you to be a part of it, I'm going to work through you to change the world for Jesus. How much purpose, how much hope, how amazing God has said, I'm not going to talk about, no matter your age, if you're in sixth grade, fifth grade, you have the same Holy Spirit that I do. If you come to know Christ, if you're 112, hallelujah, right? You have the same Holy Spirit that I do. And if you still have breath in your lungs, you still have purpose. God still is doing something in you and through you. No matter what season you're in, God can use it. God can redeem it. And as will we trust Him in it? Will we allow Him to walk in us? So for us, out of these four things, as we need to walk in humility, to experience peace. Is it, I need to know who I am in Christ? Maybe it's, I need to revisit who God is. I need to take some notes, kind of dwell on that. I need to go back through the book of Psalms. It's incredible to go back through that and to read through what God is doing and who God is. And or maybe I need to take on the interest of others. Now I'm starting to pay attention. I'm gonna ask more questions than make more statements, right? I'm interested in you. And when I walk into the room, the most interesting person in the room is the one I'm getting ready to talk to, right? Like all of a sudden, I take on this mindset and the interest of others. And then I'm replacing complaining with encouraging. Which one of those four is God speaking to you about? And may we pray, because God said, I'm sending you the helper, the Holy Spirit, who will walk with you, who will guide you, who will direct you in that. How can we ask Him, say, God, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? Where do you need me to act on? What do you need to encourage me in? Whatever that may be, God, help us to walk in peace. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you for your peace. God, I pray over this room. I pray that if anybody can hear my voice online, God, I pray for your peace to dwell in their hearts. God, I pray that if they have any question over their identity in you, God, I pray that we settle that today. God, I pray that you give them boldness to come talk to me or talk to one of our leaders. And God, I pray that we would settle their relationship with you today. God, I also pray that you would illuminate, bring revelation to our hearts of what you're trying to work on in us and through us, God. God, there's too much on the line. The world is turning away from you, and we need your people, God, to stand up as bright lights walking in peace so that others can experience this eternal peace as well. God, it says that your word says that for you so loved the world that you gave your one and only son. And I pray that we rest in that fact, that we live that out, God. Live it out in faith. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.